big welcome. Wow. So we have a testimony. Pastor Mary, come on up here. Come give us a real... Put this on for you. There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, can I put my notes here? Do I put the timer on for me? No, just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Bible College have heard, but on Monday, I got a call that my mom, I have adopted parents. My mom was rushed to the hospital by 911, and what happened was she was, a caregiver saw her in the car sleeping, so they called her to come in, and when she came in, she couldn't speak, and then she fainted, so they called 911, took her to the hospital. So when she was at the hospital, my sister called me, hey, mom's at the hospital. I'm like, okay. So we were waiting, and then I get a text. Mom's positive for COVID. Dad's at home with flu-like symptoms. I'm like, okay. Now, my mom has underlying issues. She has heart problems, kidney disease, gout, diabetes, like everything that they say that are like, if you get COVID, pretty much it's it, right? So we're like, okay. And then I immediately text all the pastors, please pray for my mom. This is what's happening. I text Brian and my family. And then within a few hours, I said, text the pastors again. Oops, positive. So I prayed one prayer. And, you know, you get angry with the devil. I'm like, really? You're going to hit me again? Because there's been a lot that's been happening in our family, like constantly. It's like every week. And Cindy called me, gosh, Mary, another one? I'm like, yeah, right? Come on, come on. Show me your great stuff, devil. So I was just like, one more. Okay, so I just prayed. And when I get angry, you know, I'm Filipina, so Brian can attest to this. The Tagalog word just comes out, you know. And I normally don't pray in Tagalog because it's harder for me. It's in English, but I'm like, Anyway, so I prayed. And then...
Does the devil speak Tagalog?
Oh, I'm sure he can. I'm sure he can. Then Cindy called. We prayed. And then Pastor Henry said, I'm going to have the Bible College pray for me. Let me tell you, I have never felt so peaceful. And I'm like, I think like all the prayers have been carrying me. You know, I mean, I prayed once, I cried once, and that was it. I was just like, you know, from this point, I'm just going to worship God and thank God.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Amen.
You know, when you're like believing this is life and death.
Yep.
Life and death. Yep. And by Thursday, I got another call. Dad's also positive for COVID. Okay. All right. And then so he went to the hospital. He waited 3 hours at the in the ambulance because they said, oh, he's not an emergency case. I'm like, COVID? I thought COVID was an emergency case. Anyways, it's not. So he stayed there.
Did he also have underlying conditions?
Yes, he just had a stroke. Well, he had a stroke 3 years ago. So he's also high risk. So then he had COVID. He's the one that had flu-like symptoms. And then by midnight, I got a text. Oh, they're sending him home. They did chest x-ray, blood work. No issues there. They just gave him an inhaler for COVID to use 4 times a day.
But he was positive.
So he's at home. My mom went home on Friday. So I'm just telling you, if you haven't used your faith, this is the time. I've used my faith all my life knowing Jesus. It's just like, and I told Cindy, there's nothing else I can do. The government's telling you can't do this. The hospital officials tell you can't go to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I am fully trusting God.
Yes.
Because
yes.
He's the only one that can
Hallelujah.
Heal and answer all our prayers.
Come on. Thank you,
I
Lord.
I give glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Can you switch it off and place it away?
Oh.
Switch it off first. Come on, Mary.
Thank you.
You should get excited when you testify.
Yes, like me.
We don't want to bring boring people up here, Mary. Praise the Lord. Well, I just wanted to share that with you. It's important that we hear these testimonies because the devil and certain people are trying to scare the bejesus out of you so that you are so afraid you can't do anything, you can't go anywhere. And here we have two elderly people who both had underlying conditions, both got tested positive, but through faith and prayer, they're at home and they're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God good praise. Thank you, Lord. So we welcome all the people that are watching us live stream all around the world. God bless you. Good to have you with us this morning. My sermon title is, Jesus is looking for you. Jesus is looking for you. Say, He's found me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you're in the right place at the right time. There's a wonderful healing of a blind man in the Gospel of John chapter 9, and there are five different groups of people, characters in this chapter, in this healing process that we want to look at today. I believe that God will speak to us through His Word and bring understanding and also faith for you in your situation, whatever you're facing right now. I do believe, as Pastor Cindy said, you're not here by accident. God brought you here. God sent you here. He wants to speak to you. And if you have ears to hear, if your heart is open, you will hear the Spirit of God speak to you this morning. The five characters in this particular story is obviously the blind man who gets healed. We have friends and relatives, neighbors. We have his parents. We have the Pharisees. And we also have Jesus. So let's begin John chapter 9, verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, which simply means teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The law of Moses indicates that sin of the parents would be transferred to children. So this is what they're thinking back here. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Now, perhaps you know this, perhaps you don't, but in the Greek text, you know, there's no punctuation. There's no commas, there's no periods, or anything of this nature in the Greek. So the translators of the Bible, when they were translating it into English, used their best ability grammatically to try and make sentences and everything else out of it, and then introduced chapters, because there were no chapters in the original Greek and so on. Okay, no verses, no chapters. There's no divisions like that. All right. So when I read, and when I've read this many times, I am disturbed by what I read based on what I see the translators have done with punctuation. Now, I'm going to ask you to give me a little liberty this morning just to remove one period. Just one period. Is that okay with you? We're going to read it again, and this time we'll remove one period out of the reading and see what it reads like. So when they ask the question, neither this man, Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Now, you see, to translate these verses the way that the translators did insinuates that God made this man blind just in order to heal him. That's the way you'd read it. You go, God made him blind, and now I'm here to reveal the works of God in the blind man. That's why he's blind. Well, that doesn't ring true. That doesn't sit well with me. It's not consistent with other New Testament scriptures. For example, in James, let's have a look at James. In James chapter 1 and verse 16, don't be deceived, dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So, every good and perfect gift comes from God. I'm going to ask you, is blindness a good gift? And Jesus said that God only gives, well, the scripture says God only gives good gifts. And always give, and he never changes. Not one day giving something good, next day giving something bad. So we have a problem because it doesn't tie with scriptures. Also, we know this, that Jesus, whenever he was here, he said, I only do what the Father has told me to do, And whatever he shows me to do, that's what I do. So whatever Jesus did was a direct representation of God, our Heavenly Father. So how many people did Jesus make sick? Zero. Nada. Nobody. Not one person. Well, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? If God made people sick, then surely Jesus would have made somebody sick and then healed him. But he didn't, which clearly indicates to me that God does not make people sick. Otherwise, Jesus would have made at least one person who made him mad sick. But he didn't. And Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. All right? So, I believe that the correct way that we punctuate this verse is that this person was sick or was blind, not from God, but from something else. Birth defect. So let's talk about that. We know that this happened when Adam sinned in the original, in the garden. The force of sin came rushing into the world, and it devastated God's creation. Absolutely caused catastrophe, deformity, sickness, death, pain, hopelessness. It caused all kinds of evil to happen because it actually corrupted God's entire system, from the weather to the animals, everything, including man. And therefore, after that, we have birth deformities. You got it? Okay. So now Jesus is sent into the world, as he clearly says here, to work the works of God, to work God's grace, to show us God's grace by doing what? Reversing what the devil did, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, bringing to pass in people's life the peace that God always wanted them to have. So Jesus, by God's grace, reverses everything that Satan did. So this man's blindness is actually an opportunity to display the power of God's love. And that is what Jesus was saying. He's saying this man is blind, but what it does, it gives me the opportunity to work the works of God and to display the love of God in his life. Yes. Makes sense to you now? Yes. That's what I believe was taking place. So whatever problem you have in your life right now, whatever you're facing, whether it's sickness, some kind of disease, some kind of financial difficulty, relationship problem, mental anguish, I don't know, if you have heartache, something that is really, really, you know, something that's got a hold of you, I want you to know something. It is an opportunity for God to demonstrate through Jesus the power of his grace and love in your life. You don't have to live with it forever. Jesus is here. He's looking for you. He's come this morning specifically to bring a healing touch in your life and to make changes where you have need of them. Let's for a moment talk about generational curses, because this is what the disciples thought had gone on. Now, the law of Moses absolutely says that the sins of the fathers will be visited on the children and the generations after them. So there's going to be problems in your family because of your parents and what they did. So it clearly says that. And you know what? Satan wants you and I to believe that the problems we're having right now is because either we've sinned or our parents or our grandparents have sinned, and now we are under a generational curse. Now, let me explain to you the way I understand this thing, because it's quite a big deal amongst Christians. Generational curses, breaking generational curses, there are whole movements that go about this. There are ministries that go around breaking generational curses. Okay, so this is my position on it. When you get born again, you come out from under the power of Satan and you get transferred into the kingdom of God. Your spirit man is totally born again. You are forgiven of all your sin, and you get a new spiritual father. Never mind your physical father, you get a new spiritual father. So now you have a different genealogy. Now your genealogy is with God the Father. You understand that? Your physical genealogy, yes, is somebody on earth. But you're now born again and you've been forgiven of all your sin. However, we are three parts. We are a spirit, we live in a body, we have a soul. However, your soul and your body can bring with it into your new life in Christ issues from your previous life. There is no doubt your spirit man gets born again. But if you were raised in a broken home, if you were abused as a child, if you were a drug baby, if you were raised in some situation that is not a godly situation, there's a good possibility that you have mental issues and physical issues. I'm not talking that you're crazy. I'm just saying that you have had problems in the way that you think, in the way that you view life. You're looking through a different mirror. You're looking through a different window. You understand? My heart is going out to you. I'm saying to you that, yes, if you've been raised in a situation like that, that you do have things that have carried over. They're not generational curses, because you see, you can renew your mind through the Word of God, and you can get healed in your physical body. Okay? All right. Because that is the work of God's grace in your life. Let me just say this to you categorically. The scars that you have are an indication of what you've been through, but not of where you're going. And you know, we all carry scars. We all carry scars. But the scars don't define you. As Jackie says, let's forget about the past. Let's look to the future. Let's look to the future. We have a bright future. All of us have a bright future. Amen? Amen. All right. So thank you so much. All right. So let's go back to reading the scripture. We'll go back to verse 6. So verse 6. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and he made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. That was the name of the pool. So he went and he washed, and he came back seeing. Now, see, people believed in this day that blind people were cursed. That's why they believed that. The law of Moses, possibly. And you know what they did? It's disgusting. They walked past somebody who was blind and they would spit on the ground next to him. They would hear them make the terrible noises and spit. And you know what? I've traveled around the world and I can tell you something. There are some nations that spit a lot. A lot. And you're in South America, you're in Portugal, you're in Spain. And if you're in China, they even spit on the floor in the hospitals when you're walking. And even in the elevators, they'll spit on the floor. I mean, you have to watch where you're walking so you don't stand on a, what's that thing called, an eye. You never know. Never mind. You got the message. Okay. So this man heard another person making the sounds and spitting. And all he could think was, I'm lonely, I'm in despair, and I'm in the darkness, and nobody cares. And people are spitting at me or spitting around me. Now, here's the thing. See, Jesus could have used the water that they carried, their water bottles or their bags of water. He could have used the water to make the clay. He didn't have to spit. But what was he doing? See, what Jesus was doing was he was transferring the anointing and the DNA of God in his saliva as the living word into dust from which Adam was made. And he made something that represented man and God together. And when he took that as an anointing and put it on the blind man's eyes, he transferred the anointing and the Holy Spirit moved on this man, and the DNA of God, the DNA of Jesus, went into him and opened his eyes. But not right then. Not right then. You see, when we get touched by Jesus and we get born again, the Holy Spirit transfers the DNA of God into our human spirits and our blind eyes open. And now we see Jesus. And now we see the Word. And now we understand the things of God starts to become real to us. But it takes that impartation of the DNA of God into this man of dust. Jesus says to him, now, go and wash. Now go and wash. See, now, there was no magic power in the water of Siloam. It didn't have magic power. The healing came not because of the water. The healing came because of his obedience to what Jesus said. Do you remember Naaman? Naaman, when Elisha said to him, go and dip. He had leprosy. Go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times and didn't want to go. He didn't get healed when Elisha said to him, go dip. This man did not get healed. There was no manifestation of his healing when Jesus put the clay on him. None. It was in the going. Naaman had to go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. He dipped 6 times and he wasn't healed. This man had to go and wash. And when he washed, he came back seeing. Now, listen to me. The promised church is very similar to the Pool of Siloam. People that are sick, brokenhearted, in poverty, trouble, difficulty, relationship issues, seeking righteousness. And God says to them, go to the promised church, wash, and you'll receive your sight and your healing and my presence, my righteousness. But many of them don't come. Many of them don't come. God is constantly trying to get people to be healed, trying to help them out of their situation, trying to send them to a hospital like the promised church. But they won't go. But those who do go, hallelujah. Come on, give God praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, introducing friends and neighbors. All right? Continue reading. Verse 8. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging, see, because that's what blind people had to do, they beg. They ask, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg, who claimed, some claimed that he was, others said, no, he only looks like him. Well, it'll be difficult to tell because now his eyes are open and you can't quite imagine, you know, if somebody said, he's just changed his hairstyle. That's what it is. Yeah, no. And I don't think it's him because the other guy was blind. But he's wearing beggar's clothes. He sure looks like him. So he says, hey, guys, I'm right here in front of you. You're talking in front of my back, right here. In front of my face, behind my back. I can see you now. It's me. It is me. See, when you get touched by Jesus, you change. And people can't understand. Are you sure that's the person? Hey, they look like him or her. But there's something different. They don't sound like him. Oh, they have a new hairdresser. They've had something changed. They've changed. Something they've changed. Nah. No, it is me. What's changed? I've met Jesus. Even some of the closest people to you challenge your new way. Well, now you think you're so holy. I did this to my brother. When he got born again, I did that to my brother. I put my finger in his chest. He said, don't you think that you're so holy that you can preach to me? I know who you are. I knew who he was. I knew, and I'm not even going to talk about those sins under the blood. But you see, some people can't accept the change. I have a very sad story to tell you. Very sad story. We had a beautiful young girl who came to this church. She was a lesbian. She responded to the altar call. She got beautifully saved. We gave her one of our books to read, God's Plan for Your Life. She went home. She devoured it. She read through it, and she completely devoured the book. God was all over her. 2 days later, she was driving on the freeway, and she got full of the Holy Ghost right in the car. She had a pull-off on the side. She was crying, talking in tongues, and just going, just having a glorious time with the Lord right there, because in the book, it taught you how to receive the Holy Spirit. She called some of our pastors, and she said, I've had such a change in my life. She said, I don't even desire relationships with women anymore. She said, I can't even understand what happened to me. Well, you got born again, sweetheart. That's what happened to you. She was so excited. She would pray up a storm filled with the Holy Ghost. She came to Bible college. She was in Bible college. She was living for God, and she kept on inviting people to church all the time. She invited her parents. Eventually, after months and months and months, her parents came. And her mom responded to the altar call, come to get saved, but her dad did not. And I reached out to the dad. I said, don't you want to come as well? So he came reluctantly. And then a few months later, after that, her parents decided that it would be better for her to go back to her old way of life than to continue at the Promised Church. And they spoke her out of her salvation. And she's back in the world as a lesbian. Because you see, some people think the Promised Church is a cult. And the reason is because they don't understand when somebody close to them gets born again. They can't understand the change. Because they knew them when they were this way. Now you're this way. And they says, can't be. You can't. Now you're religious. No, I'm not now religious. Now I found Jesus as my Savior. God has touched me. I'm different. And I don't want that way of life. But you see, even people closest to you will challenge the way that you live. And it's incredibly important that you press on with Jesus. Are you hearing me? Okay. Let's go to verse 10. We're still reading. Now there, they asked these people, his neighbors and friends said, how then were your eyes opened? They demanded. And he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and to wash. I went and I washed, and then I could see. Well, where is the man, they asked? He says, I don't know. Introduce the Pharisees, the next group. Verse 13. So they grabbed this guy, and who was formerly blind, they take him to the Pharisees. Now, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I see. You notice his testimony is getting shorter because he's been telling it over and over and over. He's getting tired of telling it over and over and over. Therefore, the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. The Pharisees made up a new law. If you heal somebody in the Sabbath, it's illegal. Moses didn't say. Of course, Moses never mentioned healing on the Sabbath. So now they've got to make up a new law to cover this problem. They're going to make it illegal to work on the Sabbath. Remember how times they challenged Jesus about healing people on the Sabbath day? And so they said to him, no, he can't be a man of God. You see, listen carefully to me. Satan is a legalist. And he will find some way to make you feel guilty about something. Satan is trying to make you feel guilty. The Holy Spirit is trying to make you feel righteous. Satan is trying to make you feel rejected. God is trying to make you feel accepted. Satan wants to keep you as a slave, imprisoned to a legal system, so that you can't serve God or receive what God has provided to heal your blindness. If you are caught in the sense of guilt because of a legalistic thing that Satan is trying to put on you, it will keep you bound up in this prison, and you will not be able to serve God, and you will not be able to receive the healing that God wants for you. There's a two-edged sword in some of the things I'll be saying this morning. I hope that you'll hear it. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? There was a division among them. And they said to the blind man, again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and that he had received his sight. Didn't believe it. People, hear me now. People who doubt your personal testimony about what Jesus has done in your life actually don't want to believe, no matter what you say, because they're calling you a liar. So, well, I was blind, now I can see. Liar, liar. I was a sinner, rank sinner, but God changed me. Nah, that didn't happen. Yeah, it did happen. No, it didn't happen. You're a liar. See, they don't want to believe. If they won't hear your testimony, they don't want to believe the truth. Listen, the truth is, God is doing miracles today. We just heard it from Pastor Mary about her mom and her dad. A great miracle. Healed from COVID, and they both had underlying conditions, and they were both of the age it should have been death to them. But God healed them. God is doing miracles. But there are people who will say, well, I'm not sure that they had COVID. Well, I'm not sure that this happened. Something is wrong with this. Yeah, because they don't want to believe. They're rejecting the truth. Even though God is doing miracles, people are rejecting the truth. Introduce the parents. There we go. So, they called the parents to him. This is continuing verse 18. The parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? How many times are they going to ask the same question? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. See, fear and intimidation caused this man's parents to not support him, to actually cowardly not support their own son. Fear, intimidation. Please, 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 parents, don't tell me that your son didn't come and show, Mom, Dad, look at this. I was blind. You know I was blind, Mom, Dad. I can see. Well, who did this? A man called Jesus. How many think that would have happened? In any family, that would have happened. He would have gone home and said, listen, this is what happened to me. But you know what? Your son who received his sight, and you're too afraid. You're too afraid to rejoice with them publicly. You're too afraid to acknowledge who did this. Are we not living in a season where this is prominent, where people are too afraid to acknowledge Jesus did something? And this is disgusting that the parents would not support their son. I mean, can you imagine just for a moment that some parents have a son who's an addict, who comes to the promise, gets saved, gets delivered, gets full Holy Ghost, baptized in water, becomes sober. And they say to him, I don't think you should go to the Promised Church. It's a cult. Folks, we've been called a cult even this year. You go, you're kidding me. Oh, no. Oh, no. We don't tell you all of these things behind the scenes. People come to church, they stay for a while, then they go. Why do they go? Oh, we're a cult. Really? But you got saved here. You got delivered here. You got healed here. But somebody influenced you. I guess it was demonic influence. Got to rescue you from the Promised Church. Not from Satan or from drugs or from homosexuality or lesbian. No, no, no. We've got to rescue you from the Promised Church. Think about how demonic that is. Let's continue reading. So the parents say he's of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, that he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So his parents feared excommunication from the synagogue. What would happen? The community would shun them. They would lose their, club membership. You know, they wouldn't be able to play golf anymore at the club. They wouldn't be able to have dinner with the socialites. They would be social outcasts. They couldn't afford to lose their social standing, could they? So it's okay for this to happen to your son, but not to you. You want to retain your position in the synagogue, but you don't care if your son gets cast out. Listen carefully to me. If you won't stand for Jesus, you'll fall for anything. You might want to write that down. If you won't stand for Jesus, you'll fall for anything. So verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind and said, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. Well, you self-righteous Pharisees, you could not get this man healed. You could not perform the miracle to get the blind man healed. Huh. So you know what? You're now jealous of Jesus' miracle. You actually are jealous of his accomplishments. Everything that Jesus done. So what do? Oh, you undermine Jesus. You undermine his accomplishments and you judge him. He's a sinner. Do you know Jesus? Only that he does miracles. The problem is he does it on Sundays. Of course, Saturdays. So he's there for a sinner. Yeah, he's a sinner, right? So they accuse the blind man of faking a miracle. He's asked his parents, the neighbors, the blind man over and over. You're faking a miracle. This didn't happen. We know. We don't believe you were ever blind. You said you were blind. But Jesus is a sinner. Come on. Admit to the fact that Jesus is a sinner. Call him a sinner. Say it. Say it. Jesus is a sinner. Say it. You're faking. We're not going to allow you to undermine our position and our authority with fake facts. Verse 25. And he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Now we've got it down. Come on, everybody say, once I was blind, now I see. One more time. Once I was blind, one, now I see. Boy, this is what we're talking about, cutting back your testimony down to a. This is an elevated testimony now. Now it's down to 1 minute. Get in the elevator. Once I was blind, now I see. What number do you want? Hallelujah. No sending me in the pool, laying on clay, my eyes, all this kind of stuff. Once I was blind, now I see. Once I was a sinner, now I'm righteous. Once I was sick, but God healed me. Once I was poor, but God has made me rich. Once I was this, but now I'm that. Come on. What has God done for you? Once you are something, but God came into your life and he changed you. You see, you don't have to be a theologian and you don't have to be able to quote the whole book of John for you to spread the gospel. All you've got to share is what has God done for you. Amen. That's all that matters, is what God has done for you. Verse 30. The man answered and said to him, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will," beautiful, well said, "he hears him." Lovely, 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 awesome. That's P3 right there. Verse 32, "Since the world began, it had been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And they answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sin, and you are teaching us." Oh, when you run out of arguments, when you run out of arguments, you have nothing left to say, you pompous, arrogant, prideful, false religious leaders, you attack the righteous person's credibility. Especially if they're running for Supreme Court. All we've got left to do is attack his credibility. That's what we're going to say. "You are born in sin. What about you, you dumb idiot? How come you were born by Virgin Mary? Only one person came from Virgin Mary and one you. But no, no, you weren't completely born in sin, but he was." Yeah, yeah. Pompous, arrogant, false religious people. Self-inflated, self-righteous. And what do they say? "How dare you challenge us? You have no standing. You can't challenge us. We are the elite. We are in power. We're in charge. We say what goes. And if it doesn't go, we'll make a new law to make it go so that Jesus is a sinner." We can make new laws. Yeah. And we can make laws. We can change what we want to do because we're in charge. Don't you challenge us. You're a sinner. And they cast him out. Threw him out the synagogue. Threw him out. Cast him out. The threat of being put out. The threat of being shut down. The threat of being closed down. The threat of, "Don't you dare speak anything that we don't want to hear. Don't you challenge the status quo. Don't you come up with something that you claim is facts and true when we know it's not facts and true. Because we decide what's true. And you were not born blind. I don't care what everybody says. I don't care what your mom says. We don't care what you say. We don't care what the disciples say, even though they were there. We don't care. Because we've made up our mind. We're going to censor you. Off Facebook, we're going to censor you. Instagram, you're not going to get on Instagram. We've got people. Take that off. We're not going to allow people to talk about miracles. We're not going to allow people to say God is true. We're not going to allow people to say the Bible is true. We're not going to allow people to say that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. We're not going to allow that. We're not going to allow that. Because we disagree. And you have to agree with us. And if you don't agree with us, we'll kick you out. We'll shut you down. We'll stop you from speaking. Funny how I see these things in the Bible. Enter Jesus again. Verse 35, And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, Jesus went looking for him. Jesus has heard about your situation, and he has come looking for you today. Say, Jesus is here. Jesus. Right here. Right now. Jesus has compassion on you like he had on this man. And he has come looking for... He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what this man had to go through because he got healed. And he's standing up for Jesus. He's standing up. Jesus loves you too much. He has too much compassion for you to let you be thrown under the bus or to leave you in the situation that you're in. You hear me? He's your Messiah. He's your Savior. He's your Redeemer. He's your Deliverer. And he's come looking for you. And all the power of heaven is available to change your situation. Whatever it is that you're facing today, it changes today. Yes. Jesus said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who's talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. What a wonderful Savior. Jesus is here this morning, this wonderful Savior, to pick you up, to heal you, to bring about change. Do you believe that? Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Let's go ahead and stand.